of standing before you to deliver the gospel. And I feel desperate, I am desperate, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning I again ask you from my heart if you would individually ask the Lord to help us this morning, to speak to us, and that it would be edifying. I've written on the board, sound in thy statutes. I'd like you to turn with me this morning to the book of Psalm 119 and 80. Just going to read one verse. It's one sentence. It says, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." Let my heart. Let my heart. Let my heart be sound. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Why? That I be not ashamed. One of these days I'm going to stand before God. And everybody here will. And I don't want to stand before God and be ashamed. I don't want to stand before God with sin that has been left unattended. I don't want to stand before God with what I thought was secret iniquity, secret sin, that all comes out. I don't want to stand before God in emptiness, having had just a shell, a front, and be ashamed because of the opportunity that God has given to me to have something so much different. Yes. And all of us here this morning, many of us have grown up in the truth. Not all, but many. We're all here today. We have opportunity to get to know Jesus and to allow Him to do a work in our lives so that when we get to the end of the way and we stand before the Lord, that we don't have to be ashamed that we turned another way. But by the grace of God and by the shed blood of Jesus, we can stand before God with Jesus by our side, our Redeemer, our Savior. And from my heart, as best as I know how to express it this morning, I want to be sound in the statutes of the Lord for myself. And as a pastor of this congregation, I want you to know that also from my heart, I want you to be sound in the statutes of the Lord for yourselves. It's going to mean everything. You willing to dig and explore a little bit this morning? What does it mean to be sound? When it says, "Let my heart be sound," what does that mean? I've written a few things down here. Sound means established, reliable, solid, valid, can be counted on for right. sufficiently deep, not shallow, settled. Sound is to the full extent. It's thoroughly. All given to Jesus. My heart. All of my heart is given to Jesus. No divided heart. No portions and parts that I carve out for myself and say, well, it's my life and this is this time that I've been given to live like I want to live and this is my time. You ever heard people say that? This is my time. There's not anything wrong with having some personal time. That's not my point. But I don't want to live my life where I say, well, this is my part. I want to take my whole heart and I want to give it all to Jesus. I want it to all be possessed by Jesus. It's going to mean everything. Are we sound? Are you sound? In the Word of the Lord? Are you sound in your relationship with Jesus? Are you sound in His statutes? Established, reliable, solid, valid, not shallow, deep, to the full extent? I know it's a journey. I know it is, but have we given our heart to this journey that we be sound, not just in understanding, but in application? Or is our focus primarily somewhere else? Do we live our life largely directed by our preferences, my opinions, my feelings? Things that maybe I haven't dug very far in. How might you be described? We live in a time of plenty, where so much comes relatively so easy. Food, for most of us, comes pretty easy. Don't have to work a lot. I don't worry about whether there's going to be food. We have clothes to wear. Most of us are able to go where we want to go, for the most part. We get in and we go. There's so much available answers to so many things that are so readily available. Oh, let me find out. Okay, here it is. Got it. And it's convenient and it's not all bad. Don't get me wrong. I like food. I like going. I'm glad to have clothes to wear. I'm glad to be able to find information more quickly. But there is a risk. And the risk is that if we're not really careful, we can become adverse to digging. It can become a foreign thing for us, digging. To find. We can become weak in the face of adversity. And underneath it all, we can be led to believe and to give ourselves to those things that won't stand at the judgment. That are so passing. And so this morning it's important. It's not lip service. It's not just coined phrases that sound good to say in church. It is going to mean something. That we are established and settled and deep. And sound for ourselves in the statutes of the Lord. I'd like to spend a little bit of time on a couple of illustrations, if I could. Personal experiences that I have. I'm not a welder. But I've been around welding for a long, long time. I don't profess to be an expert. I'm not a welder. But I've seen a lot of welding. been around it. And years ago, I was introduced to this term relative to welding that is called buttering it on. You ever buttered toast? It's easier to butter toast when the butter's a little bit warm. Because if you don't warm it up just a little bit, you tear the toast. You tear the toast, the bread, whatever. So you warm it up, and then you spread it on. Well, there's a way to do that with welding rod, too. And there was a situation where welding rod was heated up just hot enough to get it to melt so that it could be buttered over the top of other metal. You get a pool of weld material, which is metal, and then you try to butter it like you're buttering toast. You know why? Because the base metal was shot. The base metal was no good. It had lost its integrity. It needed to be replaced. And it was leaking. But there wasn't an appetite. Think spiritually with me this morning. There wasn't an appetite to replace it. Cost too much. It required too much downtime. It required change. And so the solution was, when there was a leak that manifested itself, get these guys in here that know how to just spread some metal over the surface so that it looked like it took care of the problem, particularly from a distance. But when you got close, it didn't look good. It wouldn't pass inspection. It needed replaced. It's kind of like painting over rust. Have you ever done that? There are people that have spent a lot of money painting over rust to make it look better. You can only paint rust for so long, and it goes away, and you don't have anything. Oh, once you paint it for a little bit of time, people can get on the tour route. I speak from experience. And walk past, and if it's in the distance, it looks really good. But it's fallen apart. No structural integrity. I remember one time walking out into a plant. And there was maybe a 25,000 gallon chemical storage tank that I knew had structural issues, had issues. And I walked out one day, hadn't been there for a while, and I saw this beautiful looking tank. There was brand new, beautiful aluminum jacketing that was around the whole tank, which is normally what you put when you get a tank fixed. You insulate the tank and you protect the insulation. You put this beautiful jacket around it, and it's not cheap. And I looked at that and I thought, oh, that is wonderful. That tank has been addressed. And I looked up, and tall tank and the whole thing. Might have been 12 feet in diameter, I'm not sure. Beautiful. Something caught my eye. And I looked at that tank and I walked up closer to it. And my heart sank. I get this, you know when you get this sick feeling in your stomach when something is bad wrong? I looked at that, and somebody had invested some money into jacketing, and all they did was put it around a corroded tank that was rusting, needed help, and that was the solution. Why? Why would they do that? These examples do not represent soundness. These examples, not reliable, not right, surface, will not last. Could fail at an unexpected time. Serious. Chemical storage tanks that look good. People get a false sense of security because it looks good. And in fact, when people walk through the plant and tour the plant and stay on the tour route, and they look out there and they see this beautiful tank, that tank is accepted, no questions asked, not a place to go dig into because from a distance, it looked good. But you know what? There was a belief by somebody that people's concern about the problem, that what they thought about the problem was more important than the problem itself. Did you get that? This was a true story. Live in action illustration. They deemed what people thought about the problem as more important than the problem itself. And said another way, sometimes people can believe and live their lives worrying more about what people think than being sound. You think this can have application in our spiritual lives? I never forgot these examples. That was, some of these were many years ago. This is the digging part we were talking about at the beginning of the message. You know what Jesus said one time? He was talking to the Pharisees. And he said, to use Louisiana terms, he said, y'all, you're as whited sepulchers. You look real good from a distance. As long as you don't get too close to really see what's going on, you look good. But he said, inside, you're as dead men's bones. You're dead. There's no substance. You're not established. You're not sound. Not sound in my statutes, in the Lord's statutes. The priority was given to just make things look okay. That was a priority above and beyond making sure that the heart was right, that there was a digging that had taken place. To get a hold of something from God, to make sure that their lives had something that would last and not eventually crumble. And maybe they weren't willing to address what they recognized as a problem because the cost was too much. Cost too much to actually get to the root of the problem. It was easier to just put jacketing on. It was easier just to butter over the top and stop the leak for the moment than it was to get down where the heart is and take care of the problem. Why do we do that sometimes? Sometimes we fear change. Sometimes we fear slowing down from what we've always done. We've got people coming through. We've got to make product. We can't look like anything's wrong. We've got to just keep rolling. And inside we're going to got a leak. There's something wrong. There's this thing is springing leaks. I'm trying to cover it up, but it's not working. There's still a problem there. Something needs to be done, but I don't want anybody to know that there's a problem. And so there can be a lack of willingness to humble ourselves, not just with other people, but ourselves. Sometimes we have a hard time humbling ourselves in our own minds. We have a hard time telling other people, I'm speaking generally, saying the words, I was wrong, I'm sorry. And what do they say? Those are some of the hardest words in the English language to say. But you know, we can have a hard time saying those words to ourselves. Because if we say, I'm wrong, Rod, then what that does is that brings an accountability that if I'm wrong, that means that it represents some change that needs to take place. And oftentimes we are afraid of that for varying reasons and not willing to address it. But if we don't, if we leave these sorts of things unaddressed, if we allow these things to continue, it'll bring what the psalmist described as emptiness, which is the absence of being sound, and shame. It doesn't have to be that way. That's the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is it doesn't have to be that way. God has given every one of us here this morning opportunity to be sound, to be established, not to be ashamed, to be able to stand before the Son of God, not satisfied and secure in our own works and our own righteousness. But we can stand before the Son of God knowing that I humbled myself, I opened myself, I put the whole of my life on the altar, and I said, Lord, take my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And if there's a place in my life, and if there's a place in my heart that's not right, Lord, show me what it is. And Lord, lead me into life everlasting. Lord, You be my light. Lord, help me to follow wherever You may lead, even if it represents change in my life. Lord, I'll go. And all of us here this morning, thank the Lord, we all have the opportunity where we can do that. All of us can be saved. All of us can stand and hear those words, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. All of us can. Isn't that wonderful? No one has to be left out. We're not graded on a curve. The Lord's not getting up here at the end of the test and saying, well, here it is, class. This is the curve. And everybody on this side of this distribution, I'm sorry, you're out. Well done. You all did a really good job that are up here, and I'll let you people in. You survived. And you folks, you're out. Does not have to be that way. The Lord has come for every person. Come to repentance and be saved and stand before the Lord and meet Him in peace. But we have a responsibility. And it is going to take more than wearing a jacket that everyone else is okay with. It is going to require more than spending our lives every day coming, trying to butter over, trying to put a surface over the cracks that keep appearing over and over because there's a problem deep down inside. And so we spend our lives always trying to cover this so that that person doesn't see it, and then covering this so that it doesn't look like I'm wrong here, and living our lives in constant turmoil and absence of peace because we are neglecting giving ourselves to being established, deep, sound, invested in the statutes of the Lord. And so in one sentence, there is so much said. Let my heart be sound in Thy statutes. Why? Because He wanted to be preserved. He wanted to have life. He wanted it to be reliable. There was too much at stake not to be sound in the statutes of the Lord. Do you want your life to be preserved this morning? Do you want to be able to stand before the Lord and meet Him in peace? He's going to come back at a time we know not. We've been preaching about that here. The 10 virgins. He came back at a time unexpected. Came back at midnight. They were out slumbering, sleeping, living life just like we do. But one day, at a time unexpected, here he comes, and I want to be ready to meet him. Let my heart, be sound in thy statutes. Whose heart? Mine. It's personal. Simply having a connection with something that is good or something that looks good, but that misrepresents where your own heart is, will not stand the test of time. We're going to have a hard time standing before the Lord if we're empty. When He's given us opportunity, it needs to be personal. I want parents, and I'm thankful that I had parents that were sound in the statutes. I value having been reared in a congregation that was sound teaching. I was blessed to grow up where I grew up. Value it. I feel blessed this morning to have known solid individuals that were examples of Jesus Christ that I could follow. I am blessed to be part of a heritage of God-loving people. Not everybody has that. But in the fear of the Lord, I want to say something this morning. It's going to have to be more than having some connection to sound parents, to a congregation, to a heritage. It's going to have to be more than just understanding. We are going to have something for ourselves. It's often easier just to follow somebody else's lead. Just build, and there's value in that. That's another message. There's value in counsel. There's value in following those that have gone the road that you have not yet gone. Don't misunderstand the message this morning. But if we don't give ourselves to digging deep, giving ourselves to the Lord, Jesus said that we're going to be like the house that was built on the sand. And when the storm came, and the storm will come, it said that the house fell. And it said that the ruin of that house was great. And so the Lord in His mercy He's calling us all, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." All of us are laboring and are heavy laden without Jesus Christ. And He's made an offer for us to come, to be at one with Him, to understand Him, to give ourselves to the Word of the Lord. But it's going to take digging on your part. You're going to have to be willing to give yourself to this. This is not going to be solved by having a Google moment where we say, "Hold on just a second. Okay, I got it, and I'm gone." This is going to require giving ourselves to the way of the Lord. It's up to you. We can all do it. And this morning, if you've been content, if you have been content or willing to live your life where being accepted by others that are on the tour route has been okay, and that's where you found your sense of security. And again, I want to be a good example too. I want people that pass by my life to say, "I see the fruit of the Spirit." I'm not discounting that. But if I'm living so that that is my priority, and I've been content with that, knowing that there are leaks and crevices, damaged base metal, deteriorating places in my life that the Lord has put His finger on and shown me that I'm empty, I'm going to be on shaky ground if I'm willing to accept that. I want to live my life this morning so that His laws are written on the tables of my heart by His Holy Spirit according to the Word of God. Embrace digging, folks. Amen. It's your friend.
Amen.
It's where life can be found. This leads us to the next word in the verse. Let my heart, something from deep within, so that as we have talked about multiple Sundays, that we for ourselves believe into Jesus Christ to the point that we're willing to take Him on. Yes. Where we are digging for convictions inspired by the Holy Spirit, confirmed by the Word of God, and vice versa. That's what the Lord is looking for. Your heart. Your heart. We allow a lot of things in our hearts. We live in a time where billions of dollars are spent on capturing our hearts. And if we're not careful, we can let so many things in our hearts that we crowd out the most important thing we could ever give ourselves to. And sometimes it becomes necessary that there is a house cleaning, a decluttering activity that happens in our lives where we look and we reassess, what am I giving my heart to? Where am I at? How sound am I in the statutes of the Lord? Am I giving myself to seeking for and understanding the voice of the Lord in my life? Or am I spending all of my time trying to respond to the noise that's around me versus from what's coming within? Jesus came to do a work within. He didn't come to sit in a lawn chair outside of your house, to be consulted when convenient, just to look good as a prop. Jesus Christ came to come into our house, if we'll let Him, that we can be sound. We can feel spiritual fulfillment by the grace of God. He didn't come that we wear jackets covering up damaged material. He came to help fix that which is broken. And every one of us here this morning have had broken places in our lives. The Lord came, as the prophet Isaiah said, I am come to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty, to deliver from captivity, to proclaim. Jesus Christ came for every one of us to do these special things that maybe the enemy is telling you is too late in your life. Too far gone. The base metal, the heart, the life. It's too far gone. Been neglected for too long. Jesus Christ came to fix it. Don't be tempted to put jacketing and cover up what's wrong or butter over what's wrong in your life. The Lord has something so much better for us than that. In closing, I'd like to read a verse that we read often here in this congregation. In the third chapter of Revelation, and the 18th verse Jesus said, listen to these words, I counsel thee to buy, to invest, to give yourself gold tried in the fire that you might be rich, white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see and get a vision of what life really is about, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore. Repent. Take action. There's hope. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. I'll come in regardless of what's wrong. I'll come in. I'm the answer to the broken pieces. I'll sit and sup with you and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father God, Lord, let my heart be sound in thy statutes.